Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. As gyms have reopened, members have to weigh the risk of working out in common areas again. Policies on coronavirus safety measures can vary gym to gym, but now with a statewide mask mandate, you must wear a mask indoors, and this includes while working out. You can always stick to your new stay-at-home workouts, but if you decide to go back to your gym, you may have some questions about working out with a mask. Sandra Hunter is a professor in exercise science at the Marquette University Department of Physical Therapy, and she joins me now to help address some of these common questions. Sandra Hunter, welcome back to Lake Effect.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So before we get into the specifics about what we need to know wearing a mask while exercising, let's get into masks in general. What has the science shown us in relation to wearing a mask and the spread of COVID-19?
Well, the most recent evidence is showing that masks work at certainly slowing and mitigating the spread of COVID-19. This evidence is more recent. There wasn't a lot of experimental data out there. But now there's some case studies and some experimental data showing this to be the case. Certainly, the greater the number of the people who wear masks, the more quickly the rate of transmission will decline, and within the state and within communities.
So now that here in Wisconsin, Governor Evers has mandated a mask order that was effective starting August 1st. So before this, some gyms did have mask policies, some did not. Some required certain areas to have masks, some did not. But now we are all at a level playing field where masks are required, unless a physical doctor's note or things along those lines are needed and prevents you from wearing a mask. So when we exercise in various intensities, typically we are working and breathing harder by default. So when it comes to physical distancing, does this indicate that the recommended 6 feet of distance rule isn't an adequate amount of distance when we exercise? And let's say this will be applied to outdoors when we can distance a little better and maybe not have to wear a mask while, say, we're running or biking versus inside at a gym.
All right. So the 6 feet rule comes about from studies where, on average, the droplets that we expel while we're talking will usually go no further than about 3 to 4 feet. So the 6 feet rule is fairly safe. When we exercise, we do breathe much more at higher rates, and we expel the respiratory droplets at further distances. So exercise creates this challenge of what do we do and how do we deal with that? You've also got to consider that we're moving around. So, and that provides another challenge. And so the concern is that the droplets will travel and land on someone while you're moving around or you know, within, certainly even if you're within further than 6 feet away from them. So while there's a lot of talk out there, there's not much evidence and there's not many studies that have really tried to understand how much of a risk exercise poses. So there was a simulation study that came out early on in the pandemic by a Belgium-Dutch research team. And they suggested from their simulations where they simulated someone walking at a fast pace, a fast running pace, and also just moderate cycling speed. They showed that under those three conditions, that 6 feet was not adequate in being safe from droplets, but particularly when the person was right behind and in the slipstream of the person either cycling, walking, or running. And in fact, what they found is that to be safe from some of the droplets, if you're cycling at 18 miles per hour, you needed to be 65 feet away or behind the rider. For running at a relatively fast pace, it was about 30 feet. And for walking just at a normal pace, 16 feet. So the caveat here is that the person, when they did do the simulation, they were simulating the person in the slipstream. So the question is, well, what happens if you're side by side, the jogger or the cyclist? Well, certainly the risk is much less. How much less? We don't know, but certainly it is less. So this just puts into question, well, if someone is exercising at running or cycling, how infectious are they if they do have the disease and the virus, and how likely will these particles be in making someone else sick? And you've got to think about it. It's like there's, if you're running and walking, it's very transient. So, and you know, there's this talk about viral load and how long someone needs to be in someone's space when they're expelling some of these respiratory droplets. It's not actually really well known at all. I've heard some virologists say 10 minutes within an area, but if you're passing someone in running or cycling, it's probably going to be minimal exposure unless they're right in your face and coughing or spluttering at you. So there's a lot of caveats to this. How dangerous is it to exercise without a mask, particularly outside? And it's not clear. Certainly if you're by yourself and you're running outside or you're cycling outside and you're just seeing people occasionally, probably you don't really need to wear a mask to protect others. However, if you're in a crowded space, particularly in a gym, certainly, and that's mandated now, or even outside, wearing a mask is probably the best option for you.
So in regard to the body's response to wearing a mask while exercising, is there current research that indicates how our bodies are responding?
There's not a lot, but there has been some research on using the model of where masks have been used in recent years to try and simulate altitude, and which then with adaptations to the body, it can, particularly with aerobic exercise, that it can, you can see some benefits with that. But there's not a lot of research, but certainly some of the responses of the body to wearing a mask. One of the most prominent finding is certainly people feel like they have more difficulty breathing, this labored breathing. There's also evidence that heart rate can be slightly increased. And, you know, because of the restriction on the breathing, that there's these, some people have said, well, maybe this is unintended benefits, that your respiratory muscles are actually getting trained above and beyond what you'd expect. Now, of course, there's caveats to that. And one of those is with a mask, there is the possibility, particularly with tight-fitting masks such as N95s, of CO2 rebreathing. So what does that mean? Well, that's carbon dioxide. And every time you inspire air, the amount of oxygen is around about 21% of the air that you're inspiring. Carbon dioxide, it's almost negligible. It's about 0.03%. However, when you breathe out, you breathe out a lot more carbon dioxide, up to about 3 or 4%, and oxygen is less because you've used it in your body. So with that, if you're breathing into a tight sort of space within a mask, the next time you take a breath in, it's going to be, the air will be filled with a lot more carbon dioxide. And so that's this concept of CO2 rebreathing. And also, there's going to be a lot less oxygen. So there's two things going on here that can affect the body. Now, together, they can lead to dizziness, lightheadedness, increased heart rate, and even sort of like altitude sickness if it gets really extreme, which can be nausea. So there is this idea that it can cause problems or can lead to problems with this CO2 rebreathing. However, it will depend on the type of mask. Certainly if you're wearing an N95 while exercising, that could certainly lead to some of those responses of the body. However, I would never recommend that you're exercising at high intensity with an N95. First, the healthcare workers need them. And secondly, it can lead to unintended consequences physiologically. You should be taking note to see if you are getting dizzy or lightheaded and then just stop.
Yeah, that's the key, is to perhaps, especially initially, as we are all getting used to wearing masks, if we are going to the gym, maybe just dock down that intensity a little bit to make up for the extra work that our lungs are doing, right?
Yeah, and yesterday I went out and tried a few different masks because I was interested to see, okay, does it make a difference with how thick the cloth in the face mask is? And certainly wearing a surgical mask while you're running, I would not recommend that. It gets wet, it becomes uncomfortable. Certainly, the best mask I found was just the regular cloth mask with about two layers, and it allowed me still to breathe. And certainly, it's not the most comfortable. I would rather not wear a mask, but if it's going to stop the spread of the virus, then absolutely it's worth wearing such a mask, even if you have to outside or inside, particularly in the gym.
So you mentioned there are people who do train to either be in different elevations or they wear respiratory masks to increase lung capacity, such as elite athletes. And as we are all now wearing masks and adjusting to initial workouts, do our bodies ultimately adjust and it'll be a new peak of normal? You know, how long is that adjustment period?
Yeah, it takes a bit of time in terms of comfort, but also if you are rebreathing some of a less of a percentage of the oxygen in the air, then just like adjusting to altitude, it does take, you know, even weeks. But certainly probably the comfort level is, you know, you just have to get used to it and just say this is the new normal for right now until we get rid of this disease or at least control it. So certainly there isn't a period of adjustment, but I think we can all do it.
So now that masks are required in all indoor spaces, including gyms, what are some factors we should consider when exercising with a mask on?
Well, one of the first things you should consider is, can you do the exercise indoors or outdoors? And outdoors is certainly more desirable. If you're indoors these days, particularly with the mask mandate, you need to wear a mask. And there's other things to consider being indoors, and that's air circulation, quality of ventilation, crowding, how many people, we'll get to that. And so obviously the size of the space that you're in. Outdoors creates a lot more opportunities to physical distance. The ventilation is way better, and you could just have a lot more flexibility in moving around and protecting yourself, particularly if you have a mask on, but also you can may even be able to afford not to have a mask if there's no one else around. So that's one of the considerations. Another one is, how intense is the exercise? Certainly the higher the intensity of exercise, the greater expulsion of respiratory droplets from other people, if there are other people around. And so wearing a mask is obviously going to be protective to a certain degree. So the intensity of the exercise for you as an exerciser and expelling, but also if there are other people around, that's going to be a factor. And certainly keeping your distance is very important. So that goes on to the number of people around you. Certainly the higher the density of people around you, certainly the greater the chance of transmitting the COVID-19. And particularly if people haven't got masks, if they're outside, because if they're inside, they're going to have a mask. And again, keeping distances greater than 6 feet apart is what's needed.
So you mentioned that you found cotton regular face masks to be best while exercising. Should we kind of consider, do we need to look into different fabrics of masks for working out? You know, we have athletic clothes that are moisture wicking and all these other great things for when we work out to make us more comfortable. Are there similar things along the line of masks, and do masks lose their effectiveness if they get wet with our sweat?
Yeah, so certainly surgical masks, they get wet really quickly and they're disposable. So I wouldn't recommend a surgical mask unless that's the only thing that you have available. Certainly material that is moisture wicking and that has that ability to do that. And so some of the synthetic fabrics can do that quite well, but I would say not too thick. The thicker the material, the more difficult it is to certainly breathe in. But certainly one, probably two layers of material would be best, because you get this sort of balance between being comfort and yet being protective as well. And so the question of, do masks lose their effectiveness if wet? And I think the answer is yes to that. So if it's wet, it can certainly trap the droplets in your mask, but also onto your mask from the outside, and just becomes less effective as well as less comfortable.
So how should you wear your mask, especially while moving during exercise?
So I would say so that you can breathe and it's adjustable, and I would say not too tight, because it will certainly lead to this, CO2 rebreathing, or the possibility of that. So you do need some a small amount of ventilation. So there's this cost effectiveness, this effective in terms of being protective, but also comfort. And so not too tight, but tight enough that you will get some protection.
With this adjustment period that we'll all get used to if people are deciding to go to the gym and exercise indoors, you mentioned there's lightheadedness, could lead to nausea if you let it go on more. Ultimately, should we just listen to our body and adjust and be okay with doing that? And are there any other signs we should be looking out for to tell us to, like, okay, let's give our body a break?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between feeling uncomfortable and feeling dizzy and lightheaded and feeling sick. If you certainly are feeling dizzy and not well, just stop. I mean, that's common sense. But, it may not be comfortable, and you might need to experiment with different types of masks. I took out 4 or 5 yesterday and experimented, and I even brought a friend with me and we experimented, and I said, what is that? And interestingly enough, the ones that we thought would be effective or more comfortable weren't as comfortable as we thought. So I would say experiment and listen to your body. Your body is going to be telling you what you need, and you will just need to get used to it. And I think this will be the new normal for some time.
Well, Sandra, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time and insight.
Yeah, thank you so much, Audrey. This has been a pleasure.
Dr. Sandra Hunter is a professor in exercise science at the Marquette Department of Physical Therapy, as well as the director of the Athletic and Human Performance Research Center. She joined me for this month's Fit for You segment, and you can explore past segments at wuwm.com.